Hello, everybody. This is Brad Swift, and I'm here with my co-host, Marla of the Eco Chapter, and this is Gaia's Call 2.0. And you may notice a few things a little different. One, we can't really tell where Marla is calling in from, and I'm calling in from my temporary outdoor office since my wife and I have moved downstairs from our home to a much smaller apartment, which does not have an office. So I'm out here on the deck. So if you pick up any sounds like crickets or traffic, or maybe even Rasko, who's down there at my feet, contributing, just include that as part of the podcast. So Marla, hi, how are you? And where are you this week?
Hi, Brad. No, I love your office. It's awesome to see you all outside, except I do miss the big love thing that you had at the back of your cupboard. I think you should put that somewhere. I'm still in Sri Lanka, so
I
I'm
will.
still here.
I can probably put it up there in the framework
Yeah.
there. So, yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still in Sri Lanka, so I've been here now 4 months. Yeah. You should
Wow.
come. You should
So
come visit
super
me.
good. Yeah. I'm still waiting for teleportation.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Once that technology is available.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be
So
one
today
day
we're
where you
going
will
to
see the two of us in the same frame because we'll finally be in the same room. But until then, this is us.
And as we've noticed in our pre-calls, we do, prior to each of these, there is a little bit of hesitation. So we might, because of that hesitation, step over each other verbally. So again, just include that as well. Today we're going to explore, kind of continue to a conversation exploring that we picked up initially from the wonderful conversation we had with Amanda Scott on Trutopia, and particularly the power of stories to affect change and to shape our lives and our future. And I want to start that inquiry today with a quote from a book I wrote back. There's some debate whether I wrote in 2015 or 2017, but somewhere a few years ago itself. And the book itself was Life on Purpose, Six Passages to an Inspired Life, which the work that I did back in that time was through Life on Purpose Institute that my wife and I had co-founded and led for 22 plus years. So the quote is about the sea of meaning in which we live. So we want you kind of to map this quote on to this whole notion and kind of taking the case or, exploring with us that we live in stories. So here's a quote. There is an old saying that goes something like this: man is to himself as water is to a fish. I'd like to paraphrase and expand that statement just a bit and ask you to consider this. People are born into and live in a sea of meaning, which has as much impact on our lives as water does on the life of a fish, and is just as transparent and outside our awareness most of the time. And so, part of what we're inviting you to today, Marla and I, as we explore this, in inviting you to kind of step outside the sea of meaning and become more aware of that sea and try on that sea of meaning is composed of stories that shape our lives, even when we aren't aware or conscious that those stories are shaping our lives. So that's the lead into this. Marla, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean it's interesting that you bring that up now because I've just been reading the book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements, and he starts the book saying that, we have started our lives being told stories. We didn't come into the world believing that we are female or male, or we were given a name, we were given a religion, we were given an ethnicity or a race or really, so many things. And we have then agreed to these agreements that now make up our lives. We have agreed to say that, yes, I am this and I am that. I am not this and I'm not that. And those are all stories, right? None of those things are actually tangible things, and unless, I mean, most of them are really based on stories. Also, considering the boundaries of the countries that we live in, and the meanings that we have of the words that we use, they're all coming from stories. People have said that this is what this means, and this is what this means to me, and this is what that means to you. It's also based on the stories and the experience that come with the vocabulary, and how we agreed to take that into our lives. So yeah, it's super interesting, and it's also very unconscious, right? We also don't really think about what are the stories that I agree to, and it's also interesting that we kind of put ourselves in these bubbles of saying like, oh, I am like this, I'm a very shy, timid person, I am an introvert, but those are agreements, those are stories that we've told ourselves, and we kind of live our life based on that. We get too scared to go outside, we spend lots of time inside. But that's a story. It's a story that we're telling ourselves, and we've decided to agree to that. So that's quite interesting. And when you said to like, how do we then take ourselves out of that as a almost like a fly on the wall, and look at it and say, hey, are these stories valid? Are they still true? Have we outgrown them? Should we write new stories? And that's kind of interesting because, like, I guess we're all like we're both working on these whole ideas of the yours is the four great truths and the four great untruths, and I'm working on the better future narratives, right? How do we look at stories and the stories that we've agreed to and the stories that the world is telling us that is true, and how do we rewrite new stories that are going to kind of take us out of this polycrisis and build us a new, better future where it's not a such a mess. And I think that also goes back to what Manda Scott was saying in our last podcast episode, right? When she talked about Zootopias, this whole idea of how do we change these stories where we can work through what these stories actually mean in today's world and possibly rewrite new endings, new futures.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the book The Four Agreements, because I've thought about it a number of times. I haven't read it recently, but read it years ago when it first came out. And I think at some conscious level, I probably was thinking about that when I was starting a year and a half ago or so now, writing about the four great untruths and the four or great truths, to try to come up with a framework that was simple enough that anyone could try that on and explore it in their own lives. And kind of the nature of the type of work that I've done for almost half of my life now, if I was going to offer that to the world, I needed to kind of be willing to put myself in that. So for over a year now, I've kind of have been living as though, I actually even have that in my morning vow. I'm living as though the four great truths are true and real and will really reframe and reshape the direction that my life goes and other people's lives could go, and collectively where we could go culturally to create a more regenerative type of life and culture itself. In fact, we often talk, we at the our pre-call, Laura and I were talking about, the title of our podcast is Gaius 2.0. But it's also regenerate, in regeneration, because it's really about regeneration, the creating of life versus the extraction and taking away of life itself. And again, the four great truths are a part of what can lead us, to that framework itself. And if we don't start creating new, more positive narratives, what we're left with is the kind of the automatic and mechanical of what the four great untruths have led us down. And it's pretty predictable, at least from our point of view, where that will lead. So you want to say anything more about where, if we continue on the normal kind of business as usual route, where it will go and why we want to suggest that there's other directions we could take and probably should take.
I mean, both of us have changed our lives, right? We've both changed the stories that we've believed in. I mean, we both now live a very simple life of sufficiency, and we both work in, ways that we feel like are gonna like enhance the planet and write those better future narratives. I live pretty much out of a backpack, and have moved away from what I felt was a very capitalist consumerist country, and move somewhere where I'm by the ocean every day, and I'm, in the jungle whenever I want to go, and I'm making myself very close to nature, and that's also regeneration from you. I mean, now your office is outside in greenery and sunshine, and so that idea of also regenerating those stories, even for us, like we are trying to, I guess, live it, and to tell people like, hey, we're not living a life of sacrifice. We're not sacrificing anything. Like, if anything, I feel so much closer to nature. I feel so much more calm and more physiologic. I feel physiologically different. And you're closer to your family, and you're living through all this like reciprocity with the community there. And so we're living like I hope by example that this is a life of sufficiency, that we both rewrote our stories and thought, okay, what is the best for me? What is the best for the planet? What is the best for our families, for our friends, for the community? And we've rewritten our own lives to fit into that, right?
Yeah. And we're not doing it perfectly.
No, I don't think there's such
I
a
think that's the other piece
thing.
to kind of, yeah, exactly. In my morning vows, one of the things I say, is I'm living this to the best of my ability, and I realize at the same time that, I will make mistakes. I will have failures. And my commitment when they have a failure like that is to learn from that and then, apply what I've learned from that to the next phase itself. So whatever, again, going back to, kind of the whole theme of this podcast, living life perfectly is in itself a story. Because as Mala just pointed out, there's no such thing as perfect, except in the word perfect in the story. And I don't know for anybody else who's out there who's been trying to live a perfect life, you might find that pretty disempowering, to, because that's, invariably because we are human beings and human beings are imperfect. We will make mistakes. We will maybe make a mistake almost every time you turn around, you'll seem like, and if you're out to live a perfect life, that can really freeze you up and keep you from really going for living the full life that that's really available to us.
Yeah, they said that perfection is the enemy of the good. I think that's a quote, right? Where that we're always searching for perfection, and then we don't even try to be good. We just don't do anything. And that's also a story, because perfection is completely subjective. Like, depending on maybe who you're comparing yourself to, whether it's someone, yourself, a friend, a colleague, the new trillionaire that we have on the planet. The idea of perfection changes quite a lot. So that's another story that we can also change, right? What is perfect? Is it
Yeah.
sufficiency, or is it complete scarcity, that we're never perfect?
And the term that we have bandied around quite a bit on this podcast is the couple terms interchangeable, either the meta crisis or the poly crisis. And again, when we talk about that, that is a story that is an attempt to actually kind of characterize and capture the direction that we are going culturally as a, I don't know, as an alert, as a warning that as we continue to go this way, if we don't start to waken up both as an individual and collectively, then we're in for a fairly major, maybe the most major of recorrections that we as a species have ever faced. So again, at the same time, not to lose sight of that, the polycrisis, metacrisis, is a framework of stories to help us navigate ourselves back on track.
Right. I mean, if you look at the work of Joanna Macy, she's been talking about this whole idea of business as usual, where we're doing everything that we're doing now without any changes. And then we could either take left or right, the blue pill or the red pill, right? It's either we move towards the great unraveling, where it's really like totally out of control and like we're at a place that we cannot get any better and we're moving towards a complete systems collapse. Or we can move towards the great turning where we all kind of start to see that maybe the system that we're in right now is not working, and we have the polycrisis where there are so many crises happening at the same time. So there must be something very wrong with the way that we're working at the moment and the stories that we're telling each other and the stories that we're agreeing to comply with, and this life that we're living, and then kind of moving towards that whole idea of a new story, right?
Yeah. And before we close out, I also want to weave in something that I came across and I shared with Marley the other day. It was a podcast and YouTube channel by two different people that I've been following. Nate Hagen hosted his podcast, The Great Simplification. He's been doing this for, gosh, years, maybe a decade or longer. And he had on his show Rob Hopkins. And on the one hand, that to me was like two individuals that I greatly respect and the work that they're doing around the polycrisis, but in a way, kind of like two different ends of the spectrum. Nate Hagen is, very engineered, scientific basis, really pointing to the, peak oil issues and the this and that, and really getting down to the facts of the matter around the polycrisis. Rob Hopkins, on the other hand, is a kind of a futurist, storyteller. His current thing that he's been doing for quite a while now is traveling to the future, where and then coming back and sharing with us how the future. And I think right now he's working primarily on 2030, coming back from the year 2030, where we have put every effort into making the changes necessary to avoid the severe, most severe case of the polycrisis. And how it worked out and how it looks. So we've got this one guy who's very imaginative and dealing with that and the Trutopian work. And then we got Nate, who's very background and scientific, exploring that with him. So I just wanted to mention that, and I shared it with Marla. Maybe Marla, if there was any particular points that you like to underline that kind of stuck out to you in that conversation.
I mean, Rob Hopkins was one of the people who endorsed our book, Dreams of Unwritten Futures, and that book was really based on a Spine article that I wrote called Imagine a Future. And the idea of Imagine a Future was that we didn't have to go to this post-apocalyptic, world with zombie eating monsters and the mess. Before we kind of started to work together and we fixed it, And so what Rob talks about, and also in our book, it's really the whole idea of imagination and creativity. And I think that's such an important conversation that these scientists and very rational, kind of strict thinking people are starting to see that we really need to step out of that way of thinking, that fixed way of thinking, and look at creativity and imagination. And Rob Hopkins also has the book set that is from what is to what if. So literally starting to ask questions, and he does this in his transition towns. And yeah, he calls himself a time traveler, you know, but like, why aren't we asking the what if questions, you know, because that imagination will really start to like open that world of like, how can we find solutions and how can we work together with it? Like, we have to step out of this very strict, rigid, fixed mindset. And even the scientists and politicians are starting to ask these questions, because we can see that business as usual is not working. The status quo is not working.
And you know, one of the things that Robert Brady's emphasizes, that when he steps into the future and looks and then comes back here, he says you can find evidence already in the world of all the things that really future of regenerative future, where life is working and we're in tune and in deep relationship with the web of life. You can find evidence for that now in various pockets, in various communities and cities. And then it goes through a litany of examples like that. So if you're if you haven't come across his work yet, I would encourage you to do so. And maybe a good starting point would be that YouTube video slash podcast with Nate Hagins. And I'm the production guy, so I'm going to speak something that I hope I can work out. I'll put that in the show notes or someplace where you can actually link to that. Or even simpler, just go and plug in on YouTube Nate Hagins and Rob Hopkins, and I'm sure that will come right up itself. So anything else we want to underline or explore regarding this before we close out today?
Yeah, I think it's just an invitation for our listeners to really start looking at the stories that we're agreeing to, right? That what is it that you are believing in, and what is it that you think might not be serving you anymore, might not be serving, you know, that life that you have always dreamed of, might not be serving the planet. Every time you listen to something on the news, maybe you start, you know, start listening to what are the stories that we're being told. Just being more aware of the stories that are around us, because we're being told stories every day, and our brain starts taking them and making their own stories, and then we extrapolate all of this, and those stories continue and continue. So I think just, yeah, for our listeners to start being aware that these are stories.
And I'll take on that as well between now and the next time we chat. So this is Brad Swift from the mountains of North Carolina, and presently Marla from
Marla from Singapore is staying in Sri Lanka at the moment. Bye.
Okay, very good. All right. Take care, everybody.